Welcome to Crop Sense, presented by North Carolina Cooperative Extension. I'm Jacob Morgan, a field crops agent with North Carolina Cooperative Extension. Today, we have Dr. Guy Collins to talk about cotton planting and early season management. Good morning, Dr. Collins. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. We appreciate you being here. So I guess let's start off with kind of how this spring is shaped up so far for cotton planting.
Well, it's so far about like every spring. We have these warm spells that are very tempting for growers to go out and try to get some planted. And inevitably, that's met with a cooler spell right after that. And if we're just coming out of one of those cool spells, from earlier this week, and a lot of parts of the state actually had a frost one or two mornings. And that's not atypical for North Carolina. That's more common than anything, especially during April. We typically don't get too excited about planting much cotton until about April 25th, and this is for a couple of reasons. One, even on April 25th, you know, we're not late at that point. So there's no real hurry to get out there unless you just have really good planting conditions. But furthermore, we don't want a whole lot of cotton planted too much in April, simply because cotton tends to mature in August if it's early planted like that. And you could have a lot of bolls opening during what is typically a wet month for us. And it could be dry, but typically fairly wet, and we kind of want August to be wet with timely rains to make our crop. But you don't want bolls opening up during weather like that, because you're just asking for hard lock problems and bowl rock problems. So for those reasons, we don't want a whole lot of cotton planted in April in North Carolina, but it's very tempting when you have 4 or 5 days in a row of halfway decent planting weather. And it doesn't hurt to get started, at least, you know, get the planter going and work the kinks out of the planting operation and any mechanical adjustments that need to be made. But again, we don't want to get too excited and plant too much too quick.
Just for reference for listeners, today is April 21st. So what environmental conditions are you looking for to get started planting as far as what the ideal conditions are?
Well, ideally we would have 50 DD60s. Within the first 5 days of planting. And that's in a perfect world. So keep in mind a daily high of 70 degrees and a nighttime low of 50 degrees. That's zero heat units for that day. So you want, you know, 10 per day if you can for 5 days. So that'd be a high of 80 and a low of 60. So that's pretty much ideal conditions. Once we see it get significantly above 80 degrees during the day, whatever soil moisture we have starts to deplete more rapidly. Just keep in mind, we're only talking about soil moisture in the top half of an inch or maybe down to an inch of soil. So it doesn't take long for it to evaporate and go away. So a high of 80 and low of 60 would be ideal if you could have that for 5 days, especially if the long-term forecast, 10 days out, 14 days out, remains favorable. So that'd be ideal, but we oftentimes don't have ideal conditions. So we would at least, at the very least, want 25 to 30 heat units if we could within that first 5 day window without any night falling below 50 degrees, especially within those first 3 days of planting into moisture.
Can you talk a little bit about the planting conditions calculator that you and the guys up there at NC State have kind of created to help us decide when what the conditions are going to be in the next 5 days?
Absolutely. Dr. Edmondson and myself developed this calculator a few years ago. Very easy to use. We work with our NC State climate office and those experts over there, and got a really good tool out of it, and it's just very easy to use. All you have to do is click on your location on a map, and it'll give you the 5-day DD60 forecast for the day that you're using the calculator at that time and the following day. Now, you don't need to be confused. It's not just talking about the weather on those 2 days. It's a 5-day forecast for each of those days. So it's talking about the whole five-day window. If you were to plant it today, if you're using the calculator right now, for example, or plant it tomorrow. And it's tied to National Weather Service data, so it's real-time all the time. And we encourage growers to use it or check the calculator, make a habit out of it every morning and, again, every evening. But sometimes we get into these spells where we're right on the verge of having decent heat units, or it may fall in one category or another in terms of the rating for planting conditions. So if there's any change in the forecast, it's going to be reflected in that calculator in real time. So you want to check it in the morning and check it again in the evening to see if there's been any changes, because it's going to look out for 5 days for each of those days that you're using it. Again, a very simple tool, and it's going to give you a color-coded rating for planting conditions for each of those 2 days. So it's as simple as that. You can find it on our cotton portal, which is cotton.ces.ntsu.edu. That's where we have all our newsletters and all our other variety calculators, the FRIPS predictor, the seed quality database. You can find all of them in the exact same spot. But very accessible, very quick and easy to use. We highly recommend growers use it.
And we'll also put a link to that cotton portal in the show notes of the podcast, so you can also go there to find it. What role does seed lots and then germination ratings play in planting decisions?
Okay, you've heard us in the past couple of years really emphasize this in our winter meeting that we go around to all the counties, talk about production information. So seed quality is a big issue in cotton, and thankfully, we have a Department of Agriculture that has been very serious about implementing a widespread program that hopefully tests as many seed lots as enter the state. And it's very important to have those test results on hand. And we can talk later on the two types of tests and things of that nature, but you essentially have a warm and cool germ, whether that's an official sample taken by the Department of Ag inspectors, or a service sample that's collected by essentially anybody from an open bag. But regardless of the type of sample, you're still going to get warm germ, and if you specify it on the form, you can also get cool germ. And you really need both to make good planting decisions. So the way that works is warm germ, for example, that's going to be more of a predictor of seedling germination and performance under fairly ideal conditions. And that's where there's a legal standard for cotton seed. So on the label, on most bags of seed, you're going to see it labeled at 80% germ. They're talking about warm germ, okay? And that's a legal standard. So under ideal conditions, that would tell you how many are likely to germinate and sprout, and gives you an idea of what kind of stand you can expect from that seed lot. Cool germ is a little bit different. The test is done at 64.4 degrees for a continuous amount of time for 7 days, I believe. And that's a little more predictive of performance under challenging conditions, which we tend to always have at some point during the spring. So you want to look at both. And as long as your warm germ is at an acceptable range, and the large majority of the time, cottonseed is well within the legal range on warm germ, then you can essentially plant that, you know, anytime conditions are favorable, okay? And we don't really have to worry about cool germ under ideal conditions. When we have less than ideal conditions, that's where cool germ comes into play. And so when you're using the calculator, if it rates the planting conditions as either marginal or adequate, that's where we really want to pay attention to cool germ, and not only cool germ, but seed size. And a lot of times you can find that either printed on the bag, or you can calculate it by the information that is on the bag. And that's essentially the seed per pound. You want to pay attention to planting depth and all these other things when we're planting in marginal conditions. So if that calculator tells you that planting conditions conditions are marginal or adequate, the best thing to do is just wait for better conditions. Now, we can do that right now, this time of year, in late April. We can afford to wait and not really miss anything. Once we get to May 10th or May 15th, you know, we're at go time at that point. We're going to have to go ahead and get started. So if we have to plant through conditions like that, let's say you're a grower that has five different seed lots. During marginal or adequate conditions, you want to plant the ones with the highest cool germ, preferably your largest seed. You want to make sure you're planting them shallow, and we can talk about planting depth a little bit later. Any little thing we can do to ensure that we're getting a better stand. In some cases, that requires us to increase the seeding rate a little bit, depending on the conditions and depending on exactly what the cool germ rating is. So that's where all that comes into play. Now, if the planting conditions calculator rates it as poor planting conditions or very poor, it's going to appear in red and to alert you to it. We don't really need to plant cotton at all during periods like that. That's, the conditions are so poor that you can't really expect much out of any cotton seed, regardless of warm or cool germ. So we're really kind of focused in on marginal and adequate conditions. And you could have good conditions and it rated good, but you might have a nighttime fall below 50 degrees within the first 3 days or something like that. Maybe in those cases, we're going to look at cool germ then, but most of the time it's going to be in marginal or adequate conditions.
So variety, you could be planting the same variety, but they could be come from different seed lots and the germination could be different, even though it's the same variety. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Just because it's the same variety, if they're two different lot numbers, they could be wildly different in terms of both warm and cool. So that's why you want to make sure that your seed is tested by NCDA. So you would have that information for that particular lot number, because performance of one lot number has no bearing on the performance of another, and even if it's in the same variety. So you want to make sure you're having each individual lot number tested. And if you go into the same area of our cotton website, you'll see the NCDA seed quality database. You do have to create your own login credential, just a username or password. Real easy to do. And you also have to know your specific lot number for the seed that you purchased. Now, once you know that lot number, you enter it into that database exactly as it appears on the bag. And it'll show you whether that seed has been tested by NCDA or not. And if it's not, you can either contact your inspector or you can submit your own service sample at that point just to get the warm and cool information on it. It won't be an official sample because only the inspectors have to, they're the only ones that can pull an official sample that has, you know, any kind of legal standing if there's ever arbitration or complaints or something like that. But regardless, you want that information on hand to make better plant conditions. And the best way to go about it is to go into that seed quality database.
So does variety maturity something we need to consider with regards to planting decisions?
You know, that's a very common question that we get this time of year. And the question's twofold. Keep in mind that variety maturity, where that really matters, in my opinion, is what type of ground we're positioning certain varieties. Generally speaking, on real sandy ground that's prone to drought stress, most of the time we want to plant some of the more full season varieties on fields like that or on soils like that. They tend to have the capacity to recover from intermittent drought spells a little bit better than some of your super early varieties do. Now, if it's, you know, some real heavy ground that holds moisture for a long period of time and it's very fertile, you may want to avoid some of the more full season varieties in fields like that, especially towards the end of our planting window. But for the most part, the difference in the earliest all the way to the latest varieties we have on the full spectrum, maybe 7 days, maybe 10 days, and that's for cotton planted in May. Now, once you get beyond our crop insurance deadline, so the first deadline will be May 25th, but let's say you're planting somewhere around June the 5th or June the 10th or something like that for some really late planted cotton, then the difference between the earliest and latest maturing varieties becomes a little bit greater. You're stretching it on out to 14 days, maybe a little longer at that point. And you're also kind of bumping up against the potential frost in the fall. So that, in my opinion, is really where we start getting more and more concerned about variety maturity. And I'm not saying you have to switch from a full season to a super early variety at that point, but you may want to go at least to a mid variety, a mid-mature variety, especially when you're getting on into June planting. Now, hopefully most of our cotton will be already planted by then. But if you're replanting for whatever reason or we get held up by weather or what have you, you may have to plant hopefully only a small portion of your acres at that time. But that's where variety maturity matters most. But anytime in May, not really much at all impact in terms of maturity.
All right, so what would be your recommendation as far as plant populations, and does that change based on the planting date?
All right, generally speaking, we want to be somewhere 42,000, 43,000 seed per acre. So if you're on 36-inch rows, that'd be 3 seed per foot of row. That gives you 43,500 seed per acre. And that's generally speaking going to be your ideal seeding rate, somewhere in that ballpark. Now, on ground where historically you know you can get a good stand, it does not crust or have a tendency to crust very much. If you're planting under really good conditions, for example, and planting into good moisture, you might can reduce your seeding rate a little bit, maybe 38,000, 39,000 seed per acre. But more times than not, we're going to increase it a little bit, depending on both seed quality and seed size, as well as your planting condition. So say we have these intermittent cool spells during the early part of our planting window. If you have to plant through something like that, one of the best things you can do is increase your seeding rate to 46,000, 47,000 seed per acre maybe, and that'll help offset any kind of potential stand loss that you have. You still need to pay attention to cool germ and other things like that and make adjustments accordingly. You want to do everything you can to ensure that you're going to get a good stand, but that will help offset a few losses. In the same way, at the end of the planting window, you may want to consider increasing your seeding rate up to 46,000, 47,000 seed per acre just to manage for earliness a little bit. You have real sparse plant populations, and you know, cotton can compensate for space. So it's going to set more out of position bowls, more vegetative bowls, all of which are later maturing. So you don't want a whole lot of skips, especially on late planted cotton, because you just don't have time to compensate for that space and mature those bowls and the harvest of the bowls. But under good conditions, normal conditions, I would say somewhere around 42,000, 43,000 feet per acre is where we need to be.
So another common conversation people like to have at the old corner store is planting depth. So in your opinion, what is the ideal planting depth for a cottonseed?
I'm glad you brought that up, because some growers learned some hard lessons last year with regard to planting depth. And if you remember last year, we had warm spells and cool spells, but we were constantly getting drier and drier as the planting season progressed. And the first instinct most people have when we start getting dry is to plant deeper. In other words, we're chasing moisture. So I understand the concept of that, but usually when we're doing that, whether we mean to or not, we're planting it deeper, so it's going to take more time and more energy for that seedling to emerge and be catastrophic if it doesn't achieve a good stand, and oftentimes it doesn't. The other reason is when you're chasing moisture like that, moisture is already limited. So there's a good reason to believe that the moisture that we do have is down a little bit deeper. Will also deplete fairly quickly too. So a lot of times what you have is enough moisture to sprout the seed, but not enough for it to get fully emerged, and which is now going to take more time because it's planted deeper. So seedlings are fairly weak when they're young. And, you know, once we get to 4 or 5 leaf cotton, it toughens up quite a bit. But early in its life, cotton seeds and seedlings are fairly weak. They're sensitive to a lot of things. So in almost every case, planting shallower tends to result in better stands than planting deeper, even if we have limited moisture. We saw that last year. Still got better stands when we planted in bone dry dirt or planted in shallow and waited on a rain versus planting deep into some moisture that, you know, it inevitably sprouted the seed, but a lot of them didn't make it out of the ground. And when they did make it out of the ground, they were slower growing and quite a bit weaker. So we want to avoid any kind of stress on developing seedlings. And one way to do that is to plant shallow. So half of an inch deep, if we're getting good coverage, soil coverage on that seed, a half an inch deep is all we really need to be. There are cases like for a no-till grower that sometimes they may have to push it down to 6 or 7 tenths of an inch in order to get good coverage, good soil coverage over that seed. But those cases are rare, and there's just a few exceptions. So in most cases, a half an inch is right where we need to be. And if that's in bone dry dirt, I think most people would be very surprised how long cotton can sit there and wait on a rain. Now, hopefully, you know, not long, but there are cases where that does happen. But planting deep can either be as good as planting shallow, but most of the time it's going to be worse in terms of overall stand. So even down just an inch or so deep, that's deep enough to cause problems.
Insects are not your forte, but you're here, so I'm going to ask you the question. What management practices, kind of in general, should we be implementing for early season thrips management?
Those are good questions, and that's a more appropriate question, I guess, for Dr. Dominic Ryzik and Dr. Andrew Susette. They work with thrips and all other cotton insects quite exclusively. But, you know, just to reiterate some of the points I've heard them make over the years, one thing, since we're on the subject of plant conditions and seed quality, is planting in conditions and planting good quality seed when you're likely to get a rapid stand establishment and the best seedling growth possible, the most rapid seedling growth possible. That's one good tool right there that can help outgrow the thrips problem, so to speak, or at least get through that susceptible window for thrips. The slower growing cotton seedlings are, that tends to magnify the thrips just because they're feeding on those little tiny leaves for a longer period of time. So that's one way. Outside of that, in terms of management strategies, a lot of folks are still using in-furrow liquids. You have the granular out-of-carb that you may be able to find. It's becoming more and more common. And we used to use it almost exclusively years ago, and then we kind of went to seed treatments, and now we see some folks moving back to granular in-furrow out-of-carb. But the in-furrow liquids are still fairly common, and of course your seed treatment. But regardless of the strategy we use, we need to be scouting and looking for the presence of thrips, especially in matures, and treating it very timely if we need a foliar spray with something like acetate. Timeliness is everything on acetate. I've heard our entomologist first true leaf, when it starts poking through the cotyledons, that's really the time where we can have the greatest impact in preserving yield with a foliar spray if one is justified and needed.
And since Dr. Isaac is not here, I will mention what he always says. If you're growing cottons, hiring a scout is well worth the time and money to have somebody out there looking. A lot of people are real big these days, and having somebody out there looking at that cotton once or twice a week can make a big difference on those timely sprays for sure. Is there anything else you think we need to discuss today, Dr. Collins, before we wrap this thing up?
I think we've covered it all. I always encourage growers, if you have questions, we've got great county extension agents across the state. Reach out to your county agent. If they need contact with us specialists, we're happy to help. That's what we do in extension. So make sure you reach out to your agent first, and if the specialist needs to get involved, we're certainly here to help you as well.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time today, Dr. Collins.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it, as always.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And as always, thanks for listening to CropSense. Because if it isn't making money, it isn't making sense.